Having heard these things, they were baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the vigil of Pentecost, of course, and we celebrate the beautiful ceremonies of that vigil. But, while extraordinarily beautiful, we also recognize that they seem all a bit familiar, don't they? They are very much united to and follow from the ceremonies of Holy Saturday. We have the prophecies. We have the blessing of the baptismal font, the litany of the saints, all taking place before we proceed into the sacrifice of the Mass. So, why does the Church have us doing this again, back here for these precursory ceremonies to the Mass that we have just done likewise less than 2 months prior? It is not a point of redundancy. This is what the modernists had claimed as for the reason to eliminate the vigil of Pentecost ceremonies. But rather, it is a point of true antiquity and a matter of importance for the unity of the mind of the Church and the spirit of all that transpires with the Feast of Pentecost and all that follows, and also and of great importance to the operation of the sacraments in the Church. You see, if we are to understand today's ceremonies, it necessitates that we go back to the beginning times of the Church. Because the vigil of Pentecost, these ceremonies began way back in the start. In fact, it is mentioned that it is as early as the time of Tertullian that they would have vigil ceremonies in which the baptisms were done on the day prior to Pentecost. So we're talking about 3rd century at least that they traced themselves back to. The purpose of it was that in that time of the early Church, catechumens, that is, people who were converts to the faith, they weren't baptized at any given time like we have it now, but rather that it was typically done that all the catechumens were baptized together at one point in time. We have, for us, we find it on that vigil of Easter, Holy Saturday vigil, it took place. And it was a point of great unity of the Church. It was not something viewed simply as it is of now, in which we know that man is united to God and his Church, but rather it was a point of important unity of the whole Church together. People would come for the baptism to the cathedral. They'd come to see the bishop, and there all the catechumens would be lined up for those vigil ceremonies, and they would listen to the prophecies, and they would see the rites take place, and then they would be processed to the font where the water was blessed, and they were made Christian. But not everyone was able to make it at that time. Sometimes, whether it be because of distance, or perhaps a point of sickness, or the reality that some converts came to realize the need of learning the faith later than others, and didn't have sufficient time to study it, the Church gave a second time of baptism, the vigil of Pentecost. And so those additional catechumens were marched again into the Church, and the same rite was followed. The font is blessed, the water is prepared, and they are brought to the faith. Garanger says in the liturgical year that we can see from the rites that we have that this was not anticipated to be as large of a crowd of people as there were at Holy Saturday. He says this is the fact, part of the reason why the number of prophecies is taken from 12, which was done to represent the 12 apostles, and it is reduced down to 6. These prophecies, they still are prefigurements from the Old Testament talking about these symbolisms of what was to be represented in baptism to come. And the lesson is still there, but most of the attendees at the church had just listened to the same prophecies only a month and a half prior. And so therefore, it wasn't necessary for them to have all 12 of them. But still, the ones to be baptized soon, they needed to hear them for themselves. Moreover, it was said of that at this time that these ceremonies for Pentecost vigil, like Holy Saturday, started in the evening and would continue all the way through the night until the next morning. As time went on, the church shortened them up a bit, and of course we found them beginning in the afternoon, both Holy Saturday and Easter Vigil, until finally, by the end of the Middle Ages, both were brought to the point where we have them now in time-wise, beginning in the morning and ending around that time by noon. Now, we know as well that from history, we see the connection, the need for the baptismal water to be blessed because of its connection to an additional sacrament. We, with Pentecost, we begin to celebrate the descent of the Holy Ghost. And with that sacrament, it makes us think of an additional sacrament, the sacrament of confirmation. To once again see the unity of the liturgy of the church to her sacraments, we find as well the realization of what was done in the early church. Confirmation was linked with baptism in those early days, something that fell out away in the Western church, but is still done in the Eastern rites, that a person may be baptized and then immediately thereafter confirmed, just as it is in the epistle today where St. Paul, he baptizes the men there and then he imposes his hand and confirms them in the Holy Ghost. And so this was the way the early church had done it, and so we needed to have, for the celebration of that time of the Holy Ghost, to have that connection with those who were baptized. Moreover, we see that spiritual connection with it, because what takes place in baptism and what takes place in confirmation, well, it is the very one of the things that takes place in baptism, and what is done to a fuller extent in confirmation is we each receive the Holy Ghost by obtaining sanctifying grace, by God dwelling now in us. It is that Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost himself, who dwells within us. It is also two sacraments of love, which is the third person of the Trinity, generated by God the Father's love for the Son and the Son for the Father. We have the Holy Ghost. Well, God sends the Holy Ghost to us because it is an extension of his love for himself. That the Holy Ghost, that love of God, comes, is in our hearts. And what do we do by confirmation? We increase the Holy Ghost because we express externally our reciprocation of that love back to God, confirming that we are truly followers and soldiers of Christ and his church. There is another importance of the vigil of Pentecost ceremonies and the blessing of the baptismal font. It is liturgical in nature. It unites the ceremonies of the day with the actions of the apostles. We know at Pentecost The Holy Ghost descends upon the apostles. And up to this point, they have been terrified to go forth and to do what Christ had commissioned them to do, to preach the gospel to all nations, to baptize men in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost, Son and the Holy Ghost, to do all of these things and to spread this church from every corner of the globe. But the Holy Ghost comes and he strengthens them and he gives them all the tools necessary, the gift of tongues. He gives them that extraordinary fortitude. He gives them all of the supernatural gifts that are going to be necessary to start the church for themselves. And they immediately go out from the upper room where they had been praying and waiting and begin to preach. And on that day, Peter baptizes 3,000 people. And so, again, the significance of the font with the day unites us to the apostles and imitates after them by baptizing. And then, even after the church began to permit private baptisms throughout the year, and it was no longer necessary for us to wait to the vigil of Easter or the vigil of Pentecost for converts to be baptized, the vigil ceremonies remained and were important because it was necessary for every church to be able to carry out those baptisms. Each church now, if you were going to welcome converts in, whether during the ceremonies themselves or at other times of the year, what did you now need to have in every place? You needed to have baptismal water. It needed to be made on those vigils. It is why each church holds the baptismal water, font of blessing, at Easter. But then we have it again on the vigil of Pentecost. And this serves a really important practical purpose. Because baptisms are meant to be done with water blessed using the holy oils from that year, from that current year. And when we understand when the oils are blessed, that they are blessed, consecrated on Holy Thursday of Holy Week, and the vigil only transpires couple of days afterwards, we realize that most churches were unable to obtain those oils in time for the blessing of the font on Holy Saturday. In fact, in reality, what it takes to divide up oils and to do all of the necessary setting aside for different churches and the cleaning and purifying things afterwards, it is really time-consuming and difficult to divide them up. Especially when you think of how many churches are in a diocese. Then, moreover, the impossibility, especially in those days, it would have been to try to send messengers and clergy with the oils to all of those churches. Really, the only ones able to obtain oils in those early days were probably the churches within immediate proximity to the cathedral church. And, moreover, it's still the same in our day. Even with modern shipping and everything that we're able to do, we are still only able to overnight oils to churches doing the ceremonies connected with us that are within overnight shipping reach, essentially, in our own country, not any of the mission churches. So it was necessary for them to also have an additional blessing of the font so that the waters for baptism were current. Some liturgists even talk about, something that is disagreed upon, something you find quite often amongst some liturgists, that they have differing opinions on certain things. Some liturgists talk about the importance of using current oils in baptismal water for the blessing of baptismal water as being so important that some of them say that it would be better to forego the ceremonies of Holy Saturday's blessing of the baptismal font rather than to use the oils of the previous year. Now, many others disagree with that, and I would certainly make the argument it is better to have the ceremonies than not to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. But it does show the stressing of an importance of having current water with current oils in it. And so those churches which would not have been able to obtain those oils would have gotten them in time for the Pentecost blessing, surely, and then they could have their current baptismal water. When we understand these things, when we look at the history of the liturgy, when we look at the text that is contained in the rites itself, and we look at the spirit of the church and the way it contains and shows itself so much through its liturgical practices, we really begin to understand that the church and her liturgy, they are not only living things, but they are also timeless things. They do not represent a moment. They are not merely for the here and now. They are not disjointed pieces, unconnected or unrelated to each other or to times past. But they rather draw all together as one being. They connect the past and the present. They link Christ to his church. They link the apostles to their successors. They link our lives, the lives of all the faithful, to eternal life. They link the birth of the church, which is the very celebration of Pentecost, to the rebirth of men in sanctifying grace. The descent of the Holy Ghost on the apostles is linked together with the infusion of the Holy Ghost into man's soul. And so you see, today's ceremonies much are contrary to the claims of the modernists. They are not redundant. They are redemptive. It is only fitting that we end the Easter season, the season celebrating the salvation of mankind, just as we began it. We end it by blessing the waters of a font which unites God and man, which infuses grace into souls, which begins the path of salvation, and which gives birth to life eternal. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.